Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
People Fixing the World is the podcast looking for solutions to the problems we face today.
It could potentially ease the suffering of millions.
We have a solution. Let's do it.
People Fixing the World from the BBC World Service.
Вот из топ таких вот прям самых-самых.
Top of the list, the most essential is thermal underwear. If you have thermal underwear that you can wear under your tights, then you have a chance of staying warm.
Просят хорошие колготки.
Good warm tights. Socks. Good quality socks that climbers use or army socks. They ask for good mittens. The mittens should also have four layers, because they are always outside. Always. Clothing can only be sent to a prisoner once a year.
Один раз в год можно вещевая передача.
Yevgenia feels safer now. She's left her home in Belarus and made it to Poland, a neighbouring country but a world away. Yevgenia gathers essentials and parcels them up for women political prisoners back home. One woman among many mothers, daughters, wives and grandmothers.
Женщины передают там 20 пачек прокладок.
Women send 20 packs of sanitary pads, which is a considerable weight. Only 30 kilograms are allowed.
There are more than 1,400 documented political prisoners in Belarus, many times more than in any other European country, including Russia. About 175 are women.
Each and every week there are new political prisoners. Women are playing the key role. Mothers, wives, sisters. And on the other hand, it's getting more and more dangerous to speak out about it.
We so rarely hear from Belarus, a secretive and closed country. But these women, now living abroad, want their stories to be heard. Even sending these parcels could carry a risk at home. From the BBC World Service, this is the documentary. I'm Monica Whitlock.
My name is Inna Kavalyonak. I run an organization called Politzek Me, supporting Belarusian political prisoners. It's like new level, actually, of repression. And as we see now, persecution for likes of the Facebook posts, you know. For the post, it's usually like 1 year, 2 years of penal colony. But if we are saying about being a journalist, it's like 10 plus years. Oh, yeah. Or, for example, the NGO who worked with the rare birds in Belarus. The head of this organization has served, I guess, 3 years in prison. Comparing to Russia, if you use this comparison in Russia, it's way lower than in Belarus. Incomparable.
These mass arrests began back in the summer of 2020, when Alexander Lukashenko claimed victory in presidential elections. So many people thought that this was an outrageous fraud that they filled the streets of the capital, Minsk, and other towns and cities, calling for him to go. For Belarus, this was completely new. Women were prominent right from the start.
So I was covering all these events from the ground.
Olga Loika, seasoned reporter at TUT.by, one of the biggest news websites in Belarus. Independent and impartial, with around 1 million readers each day.
The huge demonstration against Lukashenko, it was something unbelievable. I can never imagine such quantity. So in the first part of the day, I was covering supporters of Alexander Lukashenko. 10,000 people supporting Lukashenko. And then on my way home, I saw this huge meeting when all city center, all streets and avenues was 300,000-400,000 people. So the whole Minsk was on these protests.
Young people and old, dressed in the colors of change, red and white.
Surprise, there won't be. Hey!
Women put flowers in their hair and wore white dresses, walking together and singing. The security forces, masked men in black, no names, no faces, beat people up viciously and arrested them. But the protesters returned every week. Striding tall in the crowd, playing the bagpipes, musicians from the folk fantasy band Irdarath. That's Nadia Kalac, like a flame in her bright red dress and dreadlocks, and her husband Vova in cool shades and shorts.
It was a big moment, something unique. A lot of people smiling, beautiful, every ages, children's, grandmamas, and so on and so on. We are together, and we felt tragic and happy at the same time. It was scary for them. It was scary for us.
The level of violence and injustice just grew so much, and we couldn't stay at home at all.
They have weapons, we have instruments.
There were a lot of women, and a lot of old women. They told that they live really long life and they want their better life for their kids. They want to feel free.
Yelena was working as a journalist too.
My daughter was 8 years old then, and she said, "Please think about what you are doing. I'm frightened." She knew what the security forces could do. She spoke to me, she warned me. I knew what danger I was in.
It became really dangerous for me, for my colleague, to cover all these events. A lot of people were detained, a lot of people were seriously beaten.
So you were reporting what you
yes,
saw?
Yes, yes, yes. We are journalists and it's our duty to go and to write, to film and to do all our duties.
It was scary for us to travel from place to place because a lot of musicians were arrested, but we did it. People started to feel this community spirit, and it was lovely, but it was scary. Everything there was tragic and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah, but for Belarusians it's incredible, because in our countries people are not smiling. People trying to survive, each one is concentrated on his own life and so on. But this situation glued us together somehow, because we had a hope and we really felt this hope. Mm-hmm. And then it, yeah, in the end, you know what was in the end, yeah.
Men in black chased people down. They burst into apartments. They beat people up and pulled down anything red and white, even wallpaper and washing from the line. There was nowhere safe. Frightening decisions had to be made fast. To stay, to hide, to leave your family?
I remember that I took a small suitcase and a pink backpack, almost empty. I packed one change of underwear, one hoodie and pajamas. That's all. I had no toothbrush, no comb, nothing. I took the train from Minsk to Brest. It was a night train. You know, that autumn was absolutely wonderful. And I'm on the train and I think to myself, I didn't get to enjoy this autumn. So beautiful, so bright. And I thought, it's so strange. I might not come back here. I arrived in Brest at 5 a.m.
Но у меня не было такого чувства облегчения, что это безопасно, что это еще.
I didn't feel relieved that I was safe. I felt devastated. Devastated completely. I thought, no one will give this autumn back to me. Never. And I won't be able to visit my granny. I didn't have time to go mushroom picking with her.
Мне не было времени съездить к бабушке, сходить с ней на дачу в грибы.
Each arrest altered the lives of entire families. When two parents were arrested, the children could be taken away as wards of the state and put into orphanages.
Меня зовут Анна Коновалова. Я сейчас...
My name is Anna Konovalova, and I currently live in Poland with my grandchildren, Nastya and Vanya. My daughter was arrested on September the 6th, 2020, and we left on September the 10th, 2020, in the night. At that time, Nastya had just turned 4 years old.
Anna had taken guardianship of her grandchildren in advance, just in case.
У меня нету дорожной сумки, у меня ничего не было. И было, значит, у нас...
I didn't have a travel bag. I didn't have anything. And we had a zipper, you know. When you buy a duvet or pillow, it's transparent on one side. That was my suitcase. I had a small backpack with some snacks on my back. Our documents. And with those things, we crossed the border. Our Nastya was singing all kinds of protest songs. All the way, she sang, we are not cattle, sheep or cowards, we are living people, we are Belarusians.
Anna could only hope that Nastya would pipe down as at 3 a.m. they walked across the silent no man's land into Ukraine.
Well, it's dark, it's just darkness. We walked, the children and me, feeling our way. It's night. It's dark. I didn't have a phone, so I couldn't make a light.
Я разговаривала, что мы поедем в другую страну, мы посмотрим, как там люди живут.
I told them we were going to another country. We were going to see how people lived there. If everything works out, we will definitely go to the seaside.
Если все получится, мы обязательно съездим на море.
So, Vanya, I remember... That Vanya asked, Nana, is our mom in prison? I realized that, well, the child should know the truth. If he is asking, I must tell him the truth. Well, and I said to Vanya then, yes, love, your mom was unlucky. She is in jail. And so he somehow found his own words to explain it to Nastya. The children and I spent a week in Odessa. I remember an old woman. We came to her to buy potatoes. She said, dear God, where have you come from with two children? I told her our story and she said, my God, like during the war. And she would always cut some cabbage for us, some dill, always so fragrant.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
The information spaces we inhabit can resemble a hall of mirrors.
It's called guided democracy or managed democracy. There are different parties, different candidates, but everyone knows who is going to win.
The Global Jigsaw is the podcast helping you make sense of them.
We've seen a crackdown on the opposition. We've seen an increase in censorship.
That's the Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
In Belarus, the demonstrations were over, but the arrests had only just begun. One of the brightest lights in the political opposition, Maria Kolesnikova, a professional flute player, was seen being bundled into a van. Maria would be sentenced to 11 years, her lawyer, Maxim Znak, to 10. Her family and friends have heard nothing from her since February 2023. All this time, Olga had continued to report for Toot BY.
20-something guys, they come to our office and ask several people to leave the newsroom. They take all our equipment. Then they go to our houses and took all equipment there.
So like your computers and your phones?
Computers, phones, cameras, some books, some notes. So everything that was connected with our job. We were arrested and we were put into prison, 12 people.
So you were put into prison?
Yes. So I spent 10 months in prison in Minsk. Conditions in our Belarusian prisons was really very bad, especially first 3 days. They were really very difficult. We have no chances to eat, to sleep, to sit. It was very cold. We had no pillows, nothing, no blankets, just nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. It's very cold in this cell. So there were no window. So you can imagine, just the hole in the wall. And they took us to Volodarka.
Volodarka. That's the 18th century castle prison that looms over the center of Minsk. It has a long, grim history and is still the site of executions. Belarus is the only country in Europe that still has the death penalty, and the only former Soviet state, too.
And so the whole castle, is it all prison cells, the whole thing? Or
yes,
the whole,
yes.
What was it like inside?
Very tiny cells, so just this room maybe, how many square meters? So it was about 16, 18 square meters cell for 8 women with small toilet. You can have a shower once a week in very quick way, 8 people, and so you can imagine.
It was my birthday party. A lot of friends came. So they arrested 16,
them. About 16 persons.
It was August when they came for Nadia and Vova from the band Irdarath.
This is, I think, the only bagpipes in the world that were arrested as a weapon of crime.
Were they actually called a weapon of crime?
Yes. Yes. We influenced the minds of demonstrators through music, using weapon of crimes, bagpipes.
Vova was sent to the brutal men's colony at Vitebsk in the north, and Nadia to the other side of the country, to the women's colony at Romo. Nadia hasn't talked publicly about her experience before.
They called us extremists, and we had these yellow labels. Yellow labels.
On your clothes?
Yes, special education work in our minds. They searched my things very often. I'm not a strong person. Every day I thought that it will be too much for me, that I will not go through all this. Very quickly I became grey-haired.
Nadia, Vova and other prisoners we spoke to were made to work in the colony factory, sewing uniforms for the security forces. When Russia invaded Ukraine, Vova said he was forced to sew Russian army uniforms. They say they cleaned the prison grounds at 5:30 a.m. and mopped up puddles with rags. They shoveled snow from place to place. They stood in the yard for long, long roll calls.
We had to be outside very often, standing there in minus 11 or something, and you have no possibility to wear something really warm.
Nadia was not allowed to write music in case the notation was a coded message, but she composed all the time in her head and whispered songs phrase by phrase to the other women.
And we many, many times very secretly sang there this song, very hidden secretly. We sang together and cried there. We became real family there. And when you see this, you understand that in the darkest time, when you see something beautiful and unique, it's bright 1 million times more.
Several women we spoke to said there was very little food. Fishbone soup, porridge made with flour and water, a little bread, sometimes an egg.
We were not able to take food out of this place where they fed us. One woman, let's say, stole bread from there. And punishment was our brigade, it was near 100 persons, stood in line under the sun. It was very hot. And she had to stay in front of us and eat bread without water, without something. And it was maybe an hour or something. And this officer who invented this punishment was laughing, sitting there. Everybody, 100 women standing. She is the only one sitting, making jokes and forcing her to eat bread without water. Just there. We got parcels with warm socks or food, and this supported us very much, really. We are so grateful for all the people who send us something. Yeah, and I really still want to a million times say thank you to people who helped us, helped me, helped others who were there and who are continuing to do this right now.
Ну, у нас с дочерью контакт, если бывает, то это раз в месяц видеозвонок. Она нам звонит.
If I have any contact with my daughter, it's once a month, a video call. She calls us. A conversation may last 5-6. At most, I checked it was 7 minutes.
5-6. Максимум, я смотрела, было 7 минут.
Anna's daughter, Tonya, is still in prison almost 4 years on. She sends what she can. Thermals, dried fruit, shampoo.
She's lost perhaps 20 kilograms since she got there. She lost her health. She lost her sight. She became visually impaired. The children write letters and draw pictures. But it's not like I'm going to write to mommy right now. I have to persuade them to write. They get so sad. And Nastya remembers when she went to the movies with her mom. I took her to live with me when she was 3 and a half, so even before that. They went to the movies. They had rainbow glasses on and they ate popcorn. Tonya was sentenced to 5 and a half years. Vanya asked, Grandma, is 5 years a long time? It's a very long time, love. I said, how many days is it, he asked me. I said, it's a lot of days. And he's like, why? But why? So he understands something. But I want to say that I have never regretted not lying to them. What lies could I tell them now?
In February, a further 287 people were arrested in Belarus. Many of them women. In one town, in one night, 40 people were arrested, all of them women. An app called I Need Help was declared an extremist formation. I Need Help is a way of connecting donors with families of those in prison so they could buy food, medicine and clothes.
All people who donate for any purpose now, they are in danger within the country.
And including if they've donated in the past?
For sure.
You know, the repression has never stopped since 2020.
Ina says the government's techniques have developed and become more sophisticated.
At the very beginning, they owned only these regular phone connections. They could not control the internet. But, yeah, with time they learned how to do it. Fake accounts, for example, or asking people to join fake groups, mostly on Telegram, because Telegram played a huge role in connecting people back in 2020, and creating fake accounts so that people will reveal themselves because they do not know who they're talking to. or just asking people to make likes or comments. It's important to understand people are going to penal colony for liking a post on Facebook, on Telegram, whatever, like 1, 2, 3 years. Some people are still being caught relatively easy because you cannot be afraid all the time. At some point, you will forget to clear all your Telegram bots, all the chats, all the conversation of the cyber hygiene at some point.
We are also in terrorist list in Belarus. Yes, so in one list with Osama bin Laden and all these guys, me too. So I am very, very serious person.
After a year in detention, Olga was sent home to await trial and she ran for it. Some of her colleagues are now serving 12 years. Tut Biwai has been declared an extremist formation. It's hard to imagine now that not long ago, Belarusians in their millions once read a modern, independent news website anytime they liked.
First, it was possible. It was possible to tell your opinion, to write something, to ask a question. And now you can do nothing, and it's new normality. So it's new life, it's new Belarus. So people try to survive. But, you know, all repressions have the end. So let's wait, let's try to survive.
Since 2020, hundreds of women who serve their time are making new lives in Belarus and outside. Nadia and Volva met again after 2 years apart and slipped away to Berlin. They invited us to the new studio they've made for themselves.
It's a very creative place in Berlin, 80 studios together, 80 musical studios. So
cool place.
Yeah.
It's got a nice feel. It's covered in graffiti, old brick building.
Yeah, it's here. And this is our nest.
Nadia and Volva's nest, their studio, is hung with costumes and instruments. Their comeback concert is planned for May.
This is a drum that Volva made by himself. Like this. Here we have our bagpipes. Both of them spent 2 years in prison. And they are still playable, and we are going to continue to play with them. Our love is still alive and our music is still alive.
Nadia and Volva showed us two fat bundles of letters to one another. They're documents not just of their time in prison, but of their efforts to keep each other going.
It's Volva's.
This Nadia's, for example, beautiful drawings.
Whoa.
One of the first I get from her.
So you decorated it with...
Yeah. The most cool things that I made for Volva was made from paper. We ever made this Polish uniform.
Patterns, mm-hmm. Yeah, patterns.
So you took the paper pattern from the military uniform.
And I stole it because it was not legal to took it out.
Here you can see the trees and some hearts. And it's got it and glued.
Part of Polish uniform.
Yeah, it's made from rest of Polish uniform.
So these little Christmas trees that you've put on the letter, they're green, and they were cut out of military uniforms.
Yes.
I still remember everything like yesterday. I mean, all ex-political prisoners are the same. They will have this scar in their brain forever.
Nobody in this world can understand you, just people who went through the same. Yeah. After the prison, it's very, very much not easy to come back to the world of normal humans. And you have such a distance between you and normal people.
After prison, you have special feeling to those people who were with you and... You can understand each other, but unfortunately, the best people still there.
You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. The producers were Monica Whitlock and Albina Kovalyova.
The information spaces we inhabit can resemble a hall of mirrors.
It's called guided democracy or managed democracy. There are different parties, different candidates, but everyone knows who is going to win.
The Global Jigsaw is the podcast helping you make sense of them.
We've seen a crackdown on the opposition. We've seen an increase in censorship.
That's The Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.